الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, in these verses of the Quran Sharif that we've recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urges us to hasten and not to delay. وَسَارِعُ And what should we hasten towards? إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ Towards the forgiveness of your Rabb. Last night was the 15th night of Sha'ban, Laylatul Bara'a. And amongst the things that we were told to do was to make an effort to secure the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses a similar topic, and that is hastening towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith that we recited, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that every single servant, every single son of Adam is a sinner. We are human beings, we make mistakes, we are imperfect. It is our aqidah and our belief that the anbiya, the prophets were ma'soom, they were sinless. However, as far as we are concerned, then we are not perfect, we make mistakes. But from those individuals who make mistakes, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ The best of the sinners, التَّوَّابُونَ Those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. Now that we are edging closer to, we have the ideal opportunity to cleanse ourselves so that we can be prepared for the blessed and the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us continuously that hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we make a mistake, do not delay. Sometimes the person will say that, you know, I'll make tawbah and istighfar tomorrow, from tomorrow next week, from next week next month. And then sometimes the person's life can expire, and unfortunately he didn't get the opportunity to secure the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How unfortunate this person is. May Allah protect us. So the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is there, which is ready for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah ta'ala doesn't hold any grudge against any individual. So Allah ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. Once we get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is such a great bounty, together with that, Allah ta'ala will grant us the gardens of Jannah, the gardens of paradise. So when Allah ta'ala has forgiven a person, when Allah ta'ala has overlooked the sins of an individual, then Allah ta'ala rewards that person with the gardens of Jannah. And what is the gardens of Jannah? عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Its vastness, its expanse is that of the heavens and the earth put together. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the last believer, the last mu'min who will enter Jannah, the size of his Jannah will be 10 times the size of this entire planet, Earth. Imagine in this world, if we just for a moment ponder, if a person owns an entire country, we will say this man is a very wealthy person. He owns the whole country. Every single piece of land in that country belongs to him. Imagine if the person owns a continent. We'll say, well, that's even greater. An entire continent he owns. And if the person owns the entire planet, we'll say, this man is a multi-billionaire. Forget all the other multi-billionaires. This man is on another level. The last person to enter Jannah, the size of his Jannah will be 10 times the size of this entire planet Earth. Can we imagine how vast it is? It's beyond our understanding. That is why Nabi Kareem Sahasam mentioned in one hadith sharif that what is Jannah? The definition of Jannah is this: مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. No eye has ever seen it. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, and no ear has ever heard the sounds of Jannah, the beautiful sounds of Jannah. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, and neither has the thought of Jannah, the proper imagination or picture of Jannah, neither has it crossed the mind of the person who has got, you know, a very creative imagination. It hasn't even crossed his mind. It is beyond that. It's like the little infant in the womb of the mother. Now if that infant is told that you are going to soon come out into a world that has got mountains, and it's got huge trees, and it's got oceans, and it's got lakes. Now that little child will look at what it sees around him, and it will try to draw a picture. The picture of that child will be very different from what it really is when it comes out. In the same way, in this world, we are looking at when we hear about the rivers of Jannah, so we will look at the river in this world and say, well, it must be like that. When we hear about the mountains of Jannah, so we look at the mountains here and say, it must be like this. No, it is beyond that, beyond our understanding. May Allah Ta'ala take us all there without any hisab, kitab. So Allah Ta'ala says, hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And such a paradise whose vastness is that of the earth and the heavens put together. And this Jannah, who is it prepared for? Allah says, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Individuals who have got this quality of taqwa. It is not exclusive for a certain family, or only for the Arabs. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. O man, we have created you. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرْ وَأُنْثَى, from male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا, and we have dispersed you into different tribes and nations. لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may recognize one another. That's the only reason. Allah says, what's the criterion of superiority? The criterion of superiority is not which tribe you come from, which continent you come from, or what is the complexion of your skin, or what is the height of your physique, or how much of muscles you have, or how much of weight you have, or how much of money you have in your bank account, or whether you are coming from the lineage of royals. Allah says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most superior amongst all of you is the one who has the highest degree of taqwa. Nothing to do with the external features. Nothing to do with our tribe and lineage, or which continent we come from. It has got to do with that taqwa in the heart. And Allah says the same thing in these verses, that this Jannah is prepared for those individuals who got this quality of taqwa. وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The month of Ramadan is coming. And this is a clear indication that Allah wants every single believer to go to Jannah. Sometimes the person says that, you know, Allah, na'udhu billahi min dalik, the person's thought crosses his mind, Allah wants to punish us. If Allah Ta'ala wanted to punish us, why did Allah Ta'ala give us Jannah, give us the month of Ramadan to get taqwa? The fact that Allah Ta'ala gave us the month of Ramadan so that we can develop taqwa clearly shows that Allah wants us to go into Jannah. Because Jannah is prepared for those who have got taqwa. If Allah Ta'ala wanted to destroy us, why did He send 124,000 messengers to invite us and remind us? And so many books were sent down to invite the people and remind the people towards the worship of one Allah. So Allah says that this Jannah, this paradise, these gardens of paradise have been prepared for those individuals who have got this quality of taqwa. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is prepared for the muttaqeen. And then, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala gives some qualities of the muttaqeen. Again, this is a sign that Allah wants us to get taqwa. That this Quran Sharif is the manual. If we read it and we study it, inshallah, we will develop these qualities and we will have the opportunity to make an effort to bring these qualities into our lives. Even if a person doesn't get the qualities, but he makes the effort. One person this morning, he mentioned to me that, Maulana, I wanted to do my hifz of the Quran Sharif. MashaAllah, he's married, got children. He said, I always wanted to become a hafiz of Quran. So he said, I made arrangement with the Maulana, and we had agreed that on the 15th night of Sha'ban, we will commence the hifz of the Quran Sharif. And then something took place, and as a result, the Maulana couldn't make it. And he said, I couldn't start, I'm feeling very, very down. So I said, you don't need to feel down because you made the intention. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. That the intention of a believer is better than the action itself. So you made the intention to commence. Allah Ta'ala already gave you the reward. On this point, there is an incident in the prophethood of Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, where a person was walking. And whilst walking, he saw a huge mountain. And he said, Ya Allah, if I had this entire mountain in wheat, I would have distributed it in charity. Later on, he came in the presence of Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam then said, what action did you do? Could you tell me what action you did? That Allah has sent down wahi to me, revelation to me, that you have been giving one entire mountain of wheat, such great rewards. He said, I did nothing. The only thing I did, I can recall, is when I was walking, I saw this huge mountain, and I made this statement. That this is it. Therefore, the niyyah, the intention of believer, is greater than the action itself. This requires an entire bayan in itself. But therefore, the person made the intention, and something happened and he couldn't do it. He should never feel lose hope. Allah Ta'ala gave him the full reward. In fact, that is also a rahmah in disguise. That perhaps this person would not have been able to do the action in the manner that it should have been done. That Allah made it such that you didn't do it, but you made the intention, Allah gave you the reward. That's why we are the brothers in the work of Dawat and Tabligh. Say, brother, make intention. Make intention. Even if you don't go, make the intention. So this is the same thing. So Allah Ta'ala says, now Allah Ta'ala now describes the qualities of the muttaqeen. giving us the opportunity. So we are saying that never mind, even if we don't get it right, but after listening to the talk, we make an intention that, Ya Allah, I also want to develop these beautiful qualities, so that I too can get taqwa. And when I get taqwa, I also can get these huge gardens of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala gives the qualities. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Amongst the qualities of the muttaqeen, the one quality is this, that they spend. They spend in all conditions. Whether it is in a condition of adversity, or whether it is in the condition of prosperity. So in both conditions, the person is spending. Of course, the spending will be proportionate to the condition. If a person is wealthy, he's a multi-millionaire, and he gives 10 rand in charity, we will laugh at him. Okay, brother, bhai, you got 1 million rand, you're giving 10 rand. What is the... It is not proportionate. And on the other hand, the person only has 1,000 rand in his pocket, and he gives 900 rand. We will say, brother, you don't need to spend so much, how will you feed your family? So it has to be proportionate. But in all conditions, the person, the muttaqeen, the person who has got the quality of taqwa, he spends. Therefore, we have to understand that our piety is not only confined to the masjid. It is not only confined to the recitation of the Quran Sharif. But rather that piety transcends in our ability and our compassion and that quality of being a humanitarian. That we see people in our community, whether it is our neighbors, whether it is our own relatives and family members, and we should first look within our own family, that they could be relatives within our own family issue. Then we should assist them. And of course, when we assist them, then we must be very, very careful that we don't humiliate them in the process. Sometimes the person, he assists the family, and he does it in such a way that he disgraces and humiliates that family member in front of all the others. So then what is the purpose of that kind of assistance? Perhaps it is, may Allah protect us, it is an opportunity for us to show in the entire family how generous we are. Then unfortunately we have lost the reward of spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore when we spend the charity, spend it in such a manner that in fact Hadith Sharif mentions that how we should spend charity, that the left hand doesn't even know what the right hand gave. So discreetly we give that charity to the poor, to the needy, to the relatives. And we don't make a big advertisement about it. Sometimes people take pictures of the person receiving some sort of hamper, not realizing that that little child will grow up later. And imagine what embarrassment it is. Would we like it that our child, a picture is taken, and then that later the child, the condition changes. And everyone can see that, you know, you were standing in the line collecting hampers. So we have to be concerned about the respect of every individual. So Allah Ta'ala says, يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. They spend from that which Allah has given in all conditions, whether it is in prosperity or whether it is in adversity. There is no miserliness, that the person just keeps the money, is not prepared to let anything go. One alim gave a very beautiful example. He says, if you want the breeze to blow into any room, then you have to open the windows on either side. If the person opens the window on one side, yes, some air will come in. But if you really want a cross flow of ventilation, then open the window on the other side, and now you will see the breeze will start blowing through. In other words, if you want to see an abundance of barakat and blessings in your life, then learn to also give charity. Not only the zakat, the person, yeah, he calculates every cent the zakat, and he said, "Bas, that's it, I gave my zakat and nothing more, nothing less." But beyond that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his generosity was like the wind. When the wind blows, it doesn't differentiate that I'm only going to certain homes and certain places. No, it would blow throughout and everyone would experience that breeze and that generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. With regards to charity, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that إِنَّ الصَّدَقَ لَتُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ وَتَدْفَعُ مِيتَةَ السَّوْءِ. That this charity that you will give, the sadaqat that you will give, it cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we hear often, if a person did something inappropriate, then the maulana, the alim, the ulama, the mashayikh will say, take out some sadaqah. Give some charity. You are going for on a safar, on a journey, take to some person, not necessarily a poor person, some family member, some little child in the family, 120 rand, 110 rand, give it to that child. As-sadaqah latutfi'u ghadab al-Rabb. It cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how weak we are. We know how often we violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or how we worship Allah ta'ala in such a haphazard and reckless manner. So this giving of charity cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, many ulama used to say of the South African Muslims that one of the reasons that the azab of Allah ta'ala is not coming upon the South African Muslims is because of their charities. MashaAllah, generally you will see many Muslims in South Africa, the kind of charities that they give. MashaAllah, this is a very good quality. And we shouldn't only keep it for the rich people. We should also, in our own small way, give some form of charity or the other to some poor person, to some needy person. Make it a habit in our lives. So, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. The second quality of the muttaqeen. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. That they suppress their anger. They drink their anger. Here, there is a beautiful explanation that is given by the ulama-i kiram. That this anger, Allah Ta'ala didn't say وَالْعَادِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. Allah Ta'ala didn't say they remove the anger from themselves, from the emotions. But rather they suppress the anger. Meaning that the anger will come. It is normal. If somebody does something to you, you try and say that I mustn't get angry, then that is something impossible. So if somebody will do something that will upset you, you will get angry. But what happens? Al-kadhimin al-ghayr. That they suppress the anger. They, so to say, drink that anger. They control it, they suppress it. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. Subhanallah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, one sahabi came to him and asked for advice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تغضب. Do not become angry. Again the sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, give me some more advice. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not get angry. The third time he asked the same question, again the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the same response, do not get angry. This anger is extremely dangerous, respected elders and brothers, especially if it is uncontrolled. The person in that fit of rage, one statement that he says in that fit of rage, and the entire home is destroyed. The entire family is destroyed. So therefore, Hadith Sharif gives us beautiful advices that if a person gets angry, then what he should do? If he is standing, he should sit down. If he is sitting down, he should lie down. And that person or that individual who is making him angry, he should move away from that. We've seen on the media, we've seen on the news, how road rage, something very small happens and it escalates and the end result is somebody loses their life in the process. I remember reading an article a few years ago where in America some road rage took place and the person, the vehicle got very angry, pulled the vehicle over, the car behind pulled over, he got out of the car, pulled out his firearm and fired a shot. There was a four-year-old child sitting in the back seat. The bullet hit her, she passed away. Now imagine the regret and remorse. Anger controls the person. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a person becomes angry, he becomes the toy of shaitan. Shaitan now can manipulate the person to do such things that under his normal mind, he would never do that. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the quality of the muttaqeen is they control their anger, they suppress their anger. One sahabi, those days there was slavery. He got very angry with his slave and was beating his slave up. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by. And from behind, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has more power over you than what you have over the slave. Allah has more control over you than what you have over the slave. The sahabi turned around, فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He turned around and to his embarrassment, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing in front. Immediately he turned around and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I make you a witness, I have freed the slave. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had you not freed the slave, the fire of Jahannam would have touched you. The fire of Jahannam would have touched you. Therefore we have to be extremely cautious when this anger overwhelms us. One occasion someone got very angry with his khadim, with his caretaker. He dropped the tray again. So he screamed that, you know, how many times you keep on dropping this tray? So he said, please make me maaf, forgive me. So he said, how many times must I forgive you? So the answer that was given to him, that forgive him as many times as you would like Allah to forgive you. So one of the qualities of the muttaqeen, for those brothers who have come late, we are discussing the verses of the Quran Sharif, where Allah Ta'ala encourages us to hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Last night was the night of Bara'ah, where we were all encouraged to secure the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala prior to the month of Ramadan. Even if for some reason or the other we didn't apply ourselves, it is never too late for a believer. Again, we are moving towards the month of Ramadan. Let us secure the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, together with that, hasten towards a paradise that is vast. And then Allah says, this paradise has been prepared for the muttaqeen. And then Allah ta'ala elaborates the qualities of the muttaqeen, the first of which we mentioned, those who spend in all conditions. And the second quality, al-kadhimin al-ghayr, that they suppress their anger, they control the anger, the emotion, the anger will come. Because remember, we have to understand that anger is necessary as well. A person sometimes, if he's fighting jihad, he's fighting a battle, he's fighting war, the enemies are taking control of his home. Now he can't say, the Mawlvi Sahib said, I must control my anger, and I'm not going to get angry. Main haqeer hu, faqeer hu, Abdul Qadir hu. I'm not going to do anything. Now at that time, the person, his anger should take control so that he pushes the enemy away. He says, I will fight to defend the cause of Islam. Their anger is necessary. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it came to matters of deen, on one occasion, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she was requested, or rather, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was known as Hibbu Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a certain wealthy girl, a wealthy sahabiya, who had committed theft, because of which her hand needed to be cut based on the Islamic law. So this Sahaba Ikram requested Zayd radiallahu anhu to intercede on her behalf. He presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he presented this request, it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so angry as if a pomegranate had been squeezed on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a qasam. He said, even if Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had to do this, I would never compromise on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it came to deen, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very, very firm. So Allah ta'ala says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The third quality of the muttaqeen is that they forgive people. They are willing to forgive. Somebody hurts them, somebody says something to them. One brother I saw on his status, he put a status, he was probably addressing someone. He says that tonight, the night of Bara, I'm not even going to forgive you. I'm not even going to forgive you. You know who you are. And he's got it there. Sometimes the person says that, you know, you make sure you don't even come to my janazah. You don't even present yourself at my janazah. That's how angry I am with you. So one alim should say, bhai, make sure you go for his janazah, because definitely he's not going to stand up to see whether or not you came. So this is now when a person is not willing to forgive others. There is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which it is mentioned that person who is asked for forgiveness, he hurt you in some way or the other, and he came to you and said, listen, make me maaf, forgive me. And you are not prepared to forgive that person. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that this person should not present himself in my Hawd-e Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. I'm not prepared to give him the water of Kawthar. What is the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the quality of the Anbiya? Look at the incident of Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, where his brothers did such zulm to him. They separated him from his beloved father. They were willing to destroy his life. They cast him into that well. And after the tables turned, when they realized who he was, and they sought forgiveness, he said, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There's no revenge today. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ May Allah forgive you. The same incident took place to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same words were used by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no revenge today. May Allah forgive you. So remember, if somebody did something which hurt us, then we should always ask ourselves the question, how often have I violated the commands of Allah? Always willing to forgive me. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt the qualities of Allah ta'ala. If Allah is always willing to overlook and forgive, should I not also be willing to overlook and forgive? So get this quality of, yes, if somebody violated your rights and is consistently doing it, then you should put yourself in the position where it does not happen again. Get a lawyer to draw some letter so that, you know, the business transaction is now legally within a legal framework, so that the person doesn't violate the rights. Or if there's some transaction taking place, make sure that all documents are signed and everything is writing, because this man is not a man of his word. So that is in its place. But learn to overlook and forgive. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحْبُ يحب المحسنين. And Allah Ta'ala loves those. We make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grants us all the tawfiq to develop these beautiful qualities. We will end on this last example. Ulama Ikram explained that the 15th night of Sha'ban is like the example of a house that needs to be painted. The month of Ramadan is for the painting of beautiful qualities in our life. The 15th night of Sha'ban is to scrape off all the old paint, all those sins that were committed throughout the year. That 15th night of Sha'ban is there to prepare ourselves. So now that we are edging closer and closer to the month of Ramadan, there should be an eagerness within our hearts. Allah Ta'ala give us all life to witness the month of Ramadan. Imanan wa ihtisaba wa akhiru wa da'wana. Alhamdulillah.